This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
We're speaking out of the book of Philippians. It's written from Paul to a church in Philippi. It's written to Christians. This is not, it wasn't put in the Tallahassee Democrat newspaper. It was a letter written to a specific church because they had some issues that, you know, Paul felt, and the Holy Spirit leading him felt like it needed to be dealt with. And we are going to extrapolate, Lord, speak to us. You spoke to the church. It's in the Bible. We're reading. And how can you speak to us about it? And one thing I pray that you took seriously last week is that unity and community in the body of Christ is important. And we have to take our responsibilities to be able to allow people to speak into our lives. We talked about that in small group. But at the same time, allow you, the Holy Spirit, to use you to minister to people. And that we should not take squabbles among believers in the church lightly, because we know that can masticize into something more serious, that we would take the role. But in our culture, we don't like people telling us what to do. I shared last week that I've had this multiple times in my life where usually it's a student and I try to speak into their life and they go, who do you think you are to speak into my life? And that's very American culture, very individualized, self-authority. It's not the same way all over the world. And so we have to compensate for that and say, Lord, let me be an open person for people to speak into my life, especially people who I trust and love the Lord and have my best interests at heart. And so even here at our church, we have elders in the church. I'm not the lone leader, but I have wonderful people that speak into my life, help me, pray for me, and guide me. So no one is exempt from God using them to for someone to speak into my life or your life. And I trust these men and their spouses. They're wonderful people. They love Jesus. And I tell you, that's just the way we should live. But sadly, in our culture, we don't like to be told what to do. Now, Paul is going to take a U-turn. He's going to go away from unity and community. And then we're going to go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. And he's going to say, rejoice in the Lord always. And I say it again, rejoice. It's a choice. It's a choice. And if you remember, if you've been tracking with us, Paul talked about this earlier on in the chapter, that joy is a choice. It's the second time we can find it in this passage. Joy is different than happiness. Happiness is circumstantial. It's based on feelings. Where joy, I love this, is positional. It's based on where you stand with Christ. Joy is not absent of problems, but in the presence of God. So, the circumstances might be very sad. You know, you might be like, you know what, this is what just happened is not good. But you're going to find this spirit of joy in your heart because you know who you are in Christ. And you, God is, you're in his presence. And so even in light of suffering, don't forget, Paul is in prison and, you know, talks about living in this life in prison, but he talks about being joyful. And so whatever comes our way, we can find God in our situation. We sang it this morning about God being in our situation. It's and so Paul is going to talk about some things that are beneficial for us to partake and to eat in our soul to say, yes, we want to make sure that we have this attitude of joy. It's not the absence of problem, but the presence of God. I would think, you know, you guys know about the seven deadly sins. I would say there's an eighth one, and that is, I would say, purposeful lack of joy. You know, we have so much to be thankful for. There was an old book in the 70s written, Christians should be like the most joyful people on earth. And why? Because we have Jesus, amen? And so that really needs to set in our hearts. We live in a world that is not filled with a lot of joy. And especially near the university, they're dealing with a lot of stuff that just people are just lacking that peace and joy that can only come through Christ, but it's really at a pandemic situation on our campuses. So as Christians, even though life might stink, God is still good, amen? And we can find joy because we know who we are in Christ. And let's be careful not to have a lousy attitude about life. Joy is real, it's authentic, it's, I would call it, settled determination. It's a way of grounding your life into Christ. So that's why Paul repeats it over and over again. Choose joy again and again. So I'm going to ask you a question. You don't have to answer out loud, but who is the most joyful person in your family? Who's the most joyful person in your life? If you had to vote for someone, the most joyful person, who might that be? In Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, it says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And so he's going to begin to unfold all these things that he would like to see the church begin to practice in. And joy is one of them, and gentleness is now another. Gentleness, I love it. It's an interesting idea. We know from Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Why gentleness? Well, it's interesting, when you're on the interstate, you don't see a lot of it, do you? One time I was in LA about 3 years ago. That is the worst traffic on the planet. LA near the airport, horrible. Atlanta is horrible. Orlando, don't go there. And because it's really gonna test how much joy you have and how much gentleness you have. Gentleness, because in our culture, we might think if somebody is a gentle person or a gentle man or a gentle lady, you might have a negative connotation, but Paul is not talking anything negative. He's saying this is a positive thing. It has nothing to do with being soft or weak. It's not trying to be something, shy. It's actually about strength. It's power under control. It's gentleness is the ability to keep strength and energy under control, that you don't lose your cool or lose your top, or you begin to say things uncontrollably like so many people do on the interstate. Sadly, about 2 years ago, this lady in Los Angeles had a 5-year-old kid in her back seat of her van, and she had a little bit of a road rage with someone on the interstate, and they had road rage, and they took a gun and they shot at the car, and the lady she freaked out and left and went to the school. And when she got to the school to drop off her kid had been shot and he didn't make it. And so it was all over the national news. They were able to find the person through cameras on the interstate. But road rage and lack of self-control, not controlling your anger, your frustration, is actually, sadly, the norm today. We live in a very non-self-control, non-gentle world. But Paul says for us to be gentle. He says this, the fruit of the Spirit, well, before that, he says this, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. I've been around some people in my life and I'm just amazed at their gentleness. I thought it was a blessing to see someone get attacked verbally and they just stayed in a gentle. I saw this debate between someone who was a strong believer on campus and sharing the gospel. And of course, people were just being mean and angry and yelling and saying all sorts of things. And to see him stay gentle was a testimony. It was pretty neat to see. Years ago, I didn't have this. I'm not saying I've mastered it, but years ago, I was in the middle of a verbal, intense dialogue with a staff person. And this staff person, I'll just do the initials LA, just for Rhea to know who we're talking about. So this person said to me, I don't want to give it away, but you know what she said to me? She said, Mario, when you get angry, you get sarcastic. And I looked at her, I was like, really? And I'm just kidding, I didn't do that. I did not do that. It hit me pretty strong because it dawned on me at that moment that she was right. And it was really weird because the argument continued that I didn't know how to respond because my natural tendency was to fight with sarcasm. And the Lord began to use this circumstances to help me in the area of gentleness. Let your gentleness be evident to all. And what at that moment, what was evident to all was my sarcasm. Strength under control of the Holy Spirit. Gentleness is power that is controlled and strength that is channeled through the Holy Spirit, something that honors God. Paul says that gentleness becomes a mark of who you are. Who's the most gentle person you know? The scriptural version. Not shy, not weak, but gentle. They have authority. They have strength, but it's mastered by the Holy Spirit. I believe that God is speaking to all of us, even though he's talking specifically to the church in Philippi, he's talking to us. Let us be marked and known by our gentleness in our church, amen? Then he goes on. And he's going to go in verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do not be anxious about anything. I think if there's a verse that needs to be challenged to our culture, our world, is this very one. Do not be anxious about anything. I find that interesting. Again, written by a man who's in chains, in prison. And he tells the church, do not be anxious about anything. Now, he doesn't say don't care or be flippant about it. But he says, please don't be anxious about anything. Paul is talking to two sides of the aisle, the people that aren't really anxious at all. They see everything, all glasses half full. And he's not just talking about the camp on the other side where just see glasses half empty. Let's see, how many half empty people are here? Don't raise your hand. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but he doesn't say be passive and glib about it. He says, Paul's telling us, pray hard. Whatever's concerning you, pray, and then leave it to the Lord. Pour it out. Cry out. Plead out to the Lord, and then trust him. No matter what happens, we must trust the Lord and walk through it, that he'll be with us. I know trust is hard because the heart of trust is releasing what you are worried about. I had a former family member that just could not help but be anxious about everything. Wanted to know about what kind of car I was driving their kids in, how much tire tread I had left on the tires, when was the last time I had the car serviced. It got to the point that I had some, were my nieces and nephews at my house from out of town, that she believed that I did not have enough tire tread on my tires to bring them home. So she ended up calling the police. And I ended up having a phone call with the police. And of course, they just recognized this is frivolous. But just think of someone who's just so wrapped up in anxiety and can't have peace. And the thing about being a follower of Jesus is that the Lord supplies us with these supernatural gifts that we need. Remember, I talked to you about early on in Philippians, then he calls us saints. You know, we put on the jersey, just like someone at Florida State puts on the jersey. They recruited and they're on campus and they've registered and they put on the jersey. That university is going to do everything they can to supply the need for that student player to excel in their football career or their athletic career. The food, the training, you know, the physical therapy, all that. Everything to help that person reach its capacity. And the Holy Spirit can do the same for us when we are called saints. He can help us that we don't have to live this anxious life, that we can have a life of trust in the Lord. Trust means letting go. Trust means letting go. I have another funny story. And the reason I tell you it's a funny story because I hope you laugh at the end, all right? I used to say I have a funny joke, and then somebody said to me, well, let's tell the joke and we'll determine if it's funny. And so I'll just say now from this point on, I say, hey, I'll tell you a story. Let's see if it's funny. Okay, so it's a funny story, and it was this lady. Her name was Aunt Edith, and she came home one day, and she found all of her 5 grandchildren huddled around something that was obviously attracting their attention. And they were so interested in what they were huddling around that they didn't even notice the grandma walking in the room. And as she got closer and closer, she saw with horror in her heart, in her eyes, the kids were outside playing around 5 baby skunks. And at the top of her voice, she screams, run! And they run. All of them did. Each kid grabbed the baby skunk and ran. Thank you, yes. I found my new career. But in the essence, that's kind of what anxiety and worry can be like. Is that we pray and we say, God, please help me with what I'm dealing with. Help the situation. And then the goal is to leave it in his hands. But sadly, sometimes, and I've been prey of this, is it's kind of like those little grandkids, and we yell run, and we run with it, and it follows us. Paul is counseling his church to pray about it, leave it there with prayer, bring everything before God, share everything with God, and then leave it with God. If we're not careful, if you constantly watch the news, you're going to fall into the category of being anxious over everything. And I don't want to be that kind of person. I want to be a kind of person that has peace, even though there's a storm brewing around us because of who he is. In verse 8, he continues, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And Paul is talking about our attitude that help us protect, nurture, and develop our life in Christ. And he tells us certain things to dine with. In Proverbs 23, it says, verse 7, as a man thinks within himself, so is he. So we need to dine on these things that Paul is telling us. So brothers, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, whatever is admirable, think, soak in on these things. Got 8 minutes. What is true? That's a challenge in our world today. There's a study that shows that 8% of what people worry about is actually something that's really worth worrying about. In other words, it was very unlikely to happen what people were worrying about. 92%. is what people were filling their heads with, their spirits with. And they were basically believing something that was not true. It might have been in the world of possibility, but it was not in the world of probability. So Paul is challenging the church and he's challenging us. Let's, whatever is true, think about such things. What is real? What is factual? Whatever's noble. Noble means things that are worthy of respect. Rather than focusing on things you can look down on, things that make you cynical, look for things that can help you look up to. So the things I read, I found myself like from 2012 to 2016, I think it was that presidential time period, I was watching the news all morning from CNN to Fox to ABC, NBC, I was watching them all. And guess what I found myself? Just a ball of stress. And I began to heed the words of Paul through the Holy Spirit. Think on these things that are noble. Trying to fill my head with things that are worthy of good things, good people. His word. Then he goes on to say, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right. We should feed our spirits, our minds with those things that are right. It's right things, right ideas. Whatever's pure, and I'm rushing through this. Feed our minds with those things that are pure. It's moral purity. In the Psalms 101, it says, I will set before my eyes no vile thing. My wife and I will watch television from time to time, and certain times of a show we'll watch, usually they'll introduce a character, or usually it's a scenario. And we have set in our hearts that anything to do with adultery, all that kind of stuff, like, you know what, I don't care how nice the show is, we're not going to feed our mind on that. And we would just not finish the series. So Paul is talking, fill your hearts, your mind, your spirit with what is pure, moral purity. Then what is lovely? The fifth thing. In the Greek, it means focusing on things which are pleasing and truly beautiful. He didn't say the word attractive, but truly beautiful. I thought about this, and I only challenge you to think of this. Who is the most lovely, beautiful person you know? And I'm not talking about physical attractiveness. Who do you know that just, you know, that person's just beautiful? I thought of a few things, a few names that came to my head. But it dawned on me, it's not that simple because we're so maybe focused on certain things. It's the kind of virtue thing that you walk away and it's like, that person is just awesome. You met them maybe for the first time and you leave and you're like, wow, that person, there's such a sweet spirit about them. And Paul is talking to his church, the church in Philippi, and he's talking to us. Lord, help us to focus on what is lovely. What is honorable? Finally, we should feed our minds on what is honorable. Sometimes there's a temptation to give honor to the wrong things. We focus on the wrong things. We spend our time on the wrong things. A lot of times our spirits are shaped by what we feed our mind and our spirits. And Paul is challenging us to feed it with things that are truly honorable in life. honorable people. So the question this morning is, what are we going to fill our hearts and minds with? Paul tells us, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So I pray this morning that you will spend some time with Jesus, that you're not going to walk out here the way you walked in. We have wings. The Holy Spirit has given us wings to fly. And that we're not going to run out with the skunk in our hands. And Paul is challenging his church, and he's challenging us. He always ends his letters with a challenge. So whatever you have learned and received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. He's challenging us. He's challenging you this morning. On our spring break, I pray that these things that he's challenging us to be and think would begin to take shape in our lives. We need to have a prayer life, maintaining a life of integrity. What are we like when no one's around? I pray that God will help us as a church. He's challenging us this morning. Is there something that you need to just ask the Lord to help you and just release and not take with you? Are you filling your minds with things that you shouldn't? Are you filled with anxiety? And I don't want to be a simple, I'm not a pop psychologist. I understand that life is complex. Every life is different. But if there's some things that we can just not fill our minds with, and if there's certain things that we can just release, the thing that we're anxious about, is it really something that's true? And we have to ask the Lord to help us, to give us discernment, and let people speak into our lives. So I pray this morning that you're challenged by the words that we find in Philippians. I know that I am, and I want to make a challenge. Lord, I'm going to leave it at your feet. So let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, every eye closed, head bowed, and you say, Pastor Mario, there's some things in my life that I just need to just release. If that's you, just raise your hand. Amen. Yes. You know, maybe it's, you know, I don't know what the list is. The Lord knows, and you know. Lord, help us to release it. Lord, help us to fly like spirit-filled believers when we leave this place. Lord, help us to be a people that will focus on those things that you challenged us with this morning. Lord, help us. We love you, Father. We trust you. And Lord, all those things that we just read, we know that we can find them in you. We love you, God. Lord, help us, those who struggle with anxiousness. Lord, I pray, God, that you would reveal to them and to us if it's something that we're feeding our soul with that's not of you and just pouring in fear and untruths. Lord, that we would stop eating at that table and that we would begin to eat on the good word of the word of the Lord. We say thank you, Father. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you liked what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.